Zach.
Hey.
Is this your project for Miss Hansen?
Yeah.
Boy, it sure makes mine look pathetic.
Thanks.
I guess your dad helped you with it.
Nah, I did it all myself. On my computer.
Hey, look what Zach did on his computer.
You know, my dad got me a computer, but I can't do stuff like that.
Me neither.
Maybe I'm just stupid.
No, we're not stupid. Our dads just got us crummy computers. We got crummy dads.
Macintosh Jr., the power to crush the other kids.
Guten Tag! Welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfront Elijah. Join me today. He'll soon be running amok on the streets of Japan, passing out London handshakes to innocent pub patrons. Leander Caney is here. Konnichiwa, Leander.
Konnichiwa.
Also joining us, he'll no doubt also be heading off to Japan, crowbar packed in tow, ready to break Leander out of a Japanese slammer. Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey, that's actually my job description. Did you know that?
Break bail, Leander out of slammer.
Bail bondsman, yeah.
Leander, you're going to Japan next week, right?
Right, next Thursday, yep.
Next Thursday, you're heading out, and you're going to be gone for 3 weeks.
That's right.
I wanted to bring it up for our listeners, because every time you go on vacation, everyone starts tweeting at me saying, where's Leander? Where's Leander?
Okay.
Where is he? And I have absolutely no doubt that you're going to end up in jail in some Japanese...
In Japan? They don't lock people up in Japan.
They don't?
No.
Oh, they'll make an exception for you.
And I'm going to be well behaved. Well, we're going to Thailand too, though. That's a lot different kettle of fish altogether.
Oh, that's more your style. Place with no rules.
I'll be partying, you know, on a beach, midnight moonlight party, rave.
Oh yeah, are you going to take like a whole suitcase full of glow sticks? He's going to have those kinds that you break and put into your tongue, so when you smile, your teeth glow.
Oh, I haven't seen those. Yeah.
Oh, you haven't?
I have to get some. Man. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, those are the best kind. And you're out there and you're just totally tripping and some guy smiles and his mouth starts glowing at you.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
Make you go into serious dance mode. But, well, seriously, you're going with your family, so it's going to be rather subdued. And what are you guys going to do while you're out there?
Oh, you know, all the stuff. I think a couple of the kids can drink now, so...
Really?
Yeah.
You have 21-year-old kids?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah, one's 20, but that's the legal drinking age in Japan, so they don't drink that much, but yeah, we'll have a...
it's all relative, I guess.
I want to go... the last time I was there, I went out with my brother, and we rode our bicycles all around these weird little bars all around Tokyo. They're like, you know, they have all these vending machines set up on the street, like on a street corner. There'll be a vending machine, and there'll be like... a little counter with, like, you know, maybe four stools.
Uh-huh.
And everyone just sort of drinks there. You know, you hang out there. You get a couple of cans of beer out of the vending machine.
Hang out?
Yeah.
That's actually
nice.
Kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. We went all over town doing that. We went, there was loads of them. They're all over the place, like in little alleyways, all these kind of little weird places, you know, these beer vending machines on the corners. And of course, he knew where they were. So we rode our bikes all around the city one night and had a really nice night. So I'm hoping to do that again.
You just hang out at the vending machine until it goes dry and it's off to the next one.
Next to the next one, right. Yeah. Well, then when it goes dry, then you attack it, right? And then you start smashing the thing and then turn it over.
Angrily attacking the Japanese vending machines in broken Japanese.
Yeah, no. It's much more mellow than that. It's you know, you have to be. It's a well-behaved country, so you tend to be well-behaved.
I know they're not going to know what to do with you. Plus, you're going to be towering above them all.
Well, not like me, but British my kids Godzilla. Are. They're all like 6'2". So
really, I guess I haven't seen your kids in a long time. Are they all taller than you?
Oh, they're all taller than me now. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you're also shrinking. You know.
Well, that's true, right?
Well, we're gonna miss having Leander on the show, but I'm sure you'll be documenting your trip on Instagram, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's true. I will. Yep.
You gotta post some pictures on Leander or on Instagram, Leander. Let people know what's going on and
I'll have loads of pictures. Yeah.
And eventually, we can start a Indiegogo or something to get your bail money
together.
Okay. GoFundMe. That's what I meant to say. GoFundMe.
Okay. Yeah.
Free El Katie from Japanese prison. Well, let's see here. What do we got this episode? So I know for a while we've been talking about iPhone 8, what Apple's going to do with it. But here's the thing. I think that Apple is actually going to call this thing the iPhone Pro. And I think that's because Apple is about to drop a incredibly high-tech piece of technology on us that blows the iPhone 7 and then the 7S when they release that out of the water. I think Apple is going to try and make a statement with this phone, and it's going to be an extremely cool piece of technology. I want to get into the details on why I think that, and I also want to hear what you guys think about that. And I also want to talk about this interesting piece that came out by Jason Snell this week. He's writing for Macworld, Leander. Isn't that a trip? I wasn't even sure if it was a recent article. I was like, is this something from the past? Is this something that I accidentally dug up on Google? This is a recent article that he wrote on Macworld. Did you see this?
Yeah, I did. I read it. Excuse me. Yeah, but he's been writing on Six Colors. Yeah, but.
I knew Jason was still around. I just didn't realize that Macworld was still going strong. I thought they had closed up shop at the beginning of this year for some reason. Anyway, he made some interesting points, and I want to run these by you guys. We'll talk about this, and then also, have you ever had a experience with the Apple Store where you take something in to get it fixed, and they end up giving you a brand new version of that product? Like, let's say you take in like a really old MacBook Pro and they replace it for you, and you're just like totally, totally amazed that they did that for you. Well, there's a reason I found out that they end up doing that type of thing. And it's actually, I thought, really fascinating. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Leander's going to tell us why Waz like to pay for everything with $2 bills. You may have heard this story, but this is the El Caney edition where he's going to add in his own details that will make the story wonderfully more interesting. No pressure there, Leander. And then also, we're going to wrap up with an all-new Under Review where we talk about the gadgets and apps that we are currently playing with and testing out. Before we jump into the fun, let me go ahead and say thank you to Shutterstock for supporting this episode. You might know Shutterstock as home to royalty-free photos, but they offer so much more. You can kickstart your next interactive project with video clips or music tracks from their collection. All of your creative needs serve to you in one place at shutterstock.com/cultcast. And you can get a 20% discount for our listeners, a 20% discount. This is a limited time offer at shutterstock.com/cultcast. I also want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. If you need a website for any reason, you need to head on over to squarespace.com. I've been using Squarespace for years. I am a paying customer. I pay for it every month, just like everybody else. And I really like it because of how easy it is to build a beautiful website quickly, and a website that will look good on any device that visits. It's easy to maintain. You can bring in contributors to help you with your websites. And Squarespace is continually improving their service. They just added new, more powerful analytics, new templates, and all of this is included with their impeccable 24/7 customer service. And Squarespace is great for virtually everyone, but if you have a restaurant, if you're a blogger, an artist, a musician, a small business, you can get a website set up for your specific venture quickly. Or maybe you're just someone who needs a simple website up quickly to have a presence on the web. That's easy to do too with a cover page, a one-page impactful website with a large background image or a large background video. You can check all this out and get started with a free trial at squarespace.com. Build a Squarespace website and play around with it. And if you like what you have after 2 weeks, you can sign up for their service. And if you use code CULTCAST at checkout, you'll save 10% off your first order. And also, if you order a year of service, you get a free domain name plus a better price on your entire year of service. So you save in two ways there at squarespace.com. Okay, let's start with the big story here, why Apple is making an iPhone Pro. I don't think this is going to be an iPhone 8, and I don't think that it is purely going to be a name change. They're not going to just call it the iPhone Pro because they need a name that's, you know, different from iPhone 7S, which is what they're going to release next as their standard phone. But and Jason Snell makes this point in his article, basically, that Apple needs to do something that really wows people, and it's hard to do something that wows people when you have the scale that the iPhone has. And the iPhone has gotten to be kind of boring, and the way Apple is going to blast past this ho-hum image of the iPhone is to release this really super high-tech new iPhone that's way better than the iPhone 7S is going to be. But that puts them in a risky situation, because if they create this higher-end phone, it might make the iPhone 7S look really boring, and it might make people not want to buy it. Let me read you some of the parts of this Macworld article here, and then we can talk about it. He said, Apple might be about to make a risky move, offering a high-end iPhone that makes the regular iPhone pale in comparison. In the early days of the smartphone market, every new phone model brought huge leaps forward in functionality, but these days it's tougher to make major advances that motivate users of older phones to upgrade. Apple's well-earned reputation for bringing cutting-edge technology to the masses is on the line with every release. Apple may be the victim of its own success here. The iPhone is so popular a product that Apple can't include any technology or source or any part if it can't be made more than 200 million times a year. If the supplier of a cutting-edge part Apple wants can only provide the company with 50 million per year, it simply can't be used in the iPhone. Apple sells too many iPhones too fast. Now, it's entirely possible that Apple's apparent difficulties with its next-generation phone model are in part the fault of designers and engineers who bet that new technologies would be available at the scale and at the prices Apple needs to maintain its high profit margins. But it's also true that most cutting-edge technologies are going to cost more and initially be limited in quantities unless Apple makes huge investments in equipment and in manufacturing, corners the world supply of those parts, which it has done on more than one occasion. So again, the idea here that iPhone 8 is going to be some higher-end, super-exclusive phone, and it's going to be available in smaller numbers than most iPhones have been because Apple's having a harder time procuring some of these cutting-edge technologies for the iPhone Pro. What do you think, Leander? What did you think about this theory that he had?
Yeah, it sounds totally reasonable, and exactly I think what is going to happen. It's unusual because, of course, this is the first time they've done it, but they've already been doing this with the iPad, you know, in the iPad line anyway, right? So they've diversified the line, and they now have a couple of Pro models, which presumably sell in less volume than the other iPads, you know, the mainstream iPad models.
Mm-hmm.
So Jason's argument was all about, you know, wowing customers and the risk that Apple takes by making the iPhone 7S, which would be the slightly upgraded versions of the current iPhone, pale in comparison, and that people won't want them. But you know, I don't know if that is true. I think, you know, a lot of people will want the latest and greatest iPhone, and maybe Apple can't make them in big enough volumes. But I think a lot of people are looking for, you know, an upgrade. The larger market is people looking for, you know, who are ready for an upgrade and would be quite happy, I think, with getting, you know, something like an iPhone 7S and wouldn't necessarily want to have the latest and greatest. It seems they've re-architected the entire thing, and you know, OLED screens and some of the other sensors maybe not available in huge numbers until they ramp it up. And so they're going to keep it supply constrained at the beginning. That sounds perfectly realistic and probably exactly what's going to happen.
Can you imagine, though, if they do come out with this cutting-edge, higher-end phone that blows the iPhone 7S out of the water, the demand is going to be insane. Everyone's going to want that phone. I don't even think it matters what price they charge for it, quite honestly. Like, if they charge under $1,300 for it, then I think people are going to pay it, especially because everyone's spreading out their payments over a year or two anyway, don't really feel the impact of the additional cost. But it's gonna be one of those situations where people could end up really frustrated because you're trying to get your hands on the newest phone, and Apple is gonna be, if this ends up being true, unable to produce as many phones as people want. And so it's gonna create one of those situations again where people are getting maced, they're getting robbed, they're getting stabbed, scalpers are buying them, well, right? You're gonna go to like the line and it's gonna be like full of scalpers trying to send all these phones to China or something, back to China.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because, I mean, do you know exactly which parts, you know, what technologies are constraining the supply of the phone? Or is it just like overall, you know, the fact that they can't get enough of everything? you know, is it OLED screens and laser rangefinders and cameras? Is it
don't forget the self-destruct module for when some thief steals your phone and you want to make it explode.
Well, they've had this with AirPods, and AirPods are still supply constrained, aren't they?
Well, they're still 6 weeks on Apple's website, but I've had people on Twitter send me links to places where they're commonly available, like the AT&T store and even Best Buy.
Yeah, every now and then they pop up, but I mean, if you go to Apple's site right now, it still says 6 weeks. That's crazy.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. When did AirPods come out? Do you guys remember?
It was before Christmas. Months. It was right before Christmas. The first tiny shipments.
Right.
But isn't this the story with every single item that Apple releases? I mean, you couldn't get a jet black iPhone 7 last year. I mean, everything they release, they don't have enough to meet the demand because the demand is so high.
But this seems to be a slightly different situation in that they know going in that they're not going to be able to procure as many parts as they need because the parts...
Well, this is the story, right? But I wonder whether they're diversifying the line like they have done with the iPad Pro. Like, you know, the justification that people like Jason and John Gruber have been saying is because, parts are in short supply, which is probably true, because it takes them a while to ramp up. All the manufacturers are ramping up their supply chains, but... That I think is normal for all new products, right? So maybe they're just trying to diversify the line because instead of having two models, a regular model and a plus model, maybe they're going to have a range of models like they did with the iPod line. Mm-hmm. You know, you could buy an iPod Shuffle and an iPod Classic and an iPod Nano, and maybe they're doing this with the iPhone just the way they did with the iPod and they have done with the iPad too. So there'll be a high-end iPhone Pro. That will be much more expensive than the regular, than the more mainstream mass market models.
But if it weren't a supply constraint problem, why not just apply all those significant updates to the entire line and sell more phones? You see what I'm saying? Like, why create the artificial restriction?
Well, because there's a lot of new technologies in this, and so they're going to be expensive. I bet it has to do with pricing, because there's more. You know, these new iPhones are going to have much more new technology than OLED screens and different sensors, laser rangefinders, fancy, 3D AR-ready cameras, front and back. And these are going to be much more expensive. So the phone they want to make is going to be, they're going to have to charge $1,500 for it, and that's not a mass market price. Mm-hmm. So, maybe it isn't that they can't get the parts for it. Maybe it's just because the parts are going to be so expensive. Or maybe it's a combination of not being able to get the parts in huge... numbers, and the fact that the parts are going to be more expensive. So it's a pricing issue, right? So that, because this phone has got all these new technologies in it, they're going to have to charge $1,500 in order to make a profit on it, and that is going to price a lot of people out of the market. So they've got to offer, lesser and less expensive range of phones, for the mass market.
It's like you were saying, they have to diversify their line.
Yeah. I'd say that was probably the case. I think they're just, it's maturing, and it's, the car market, right? With cars, people don't necessarily, most people are buying based upon the price, and they're happy with a certain set of features. And things like the color, and the look are more important than having the latest, greatest, internal technology. We're not necessarily, we're all going to buy the latest and greatest because we're nerds, and everyone listens to this show too.
Nerds!
They're gonna want the latest, greatest, iPhone. But I think, there's a heck of a lot of people. In fact, the vast majority of people, I think, are happy enough. They've probably got an older iPhone, and maybe it's got a cracked screen, and it's getting a bit slow. And, they would be quite happy to upgrade to an iPhone 7S. Because it has all the features, it's a big leap from them from an older iPhone that, it's a big enough leap to justify it for them to be interested in doing it. And they know that there's a higher end model, but they're not going to pay $1,500 for it.
There's those people out there. In fact, Lewis, you might be one of these people who will look at an entire product line and you see the top end and then you see the low end. And you're like, I don't really need all those extra features that are on the top end. I'm just going to go with the middle of the line product. And for me, maybe it's because I'm such a shill for marketing. I can't do that. I look at the entire line and I say, oh, I don't really need the top tier product. But what if I end up needing those features, down the line? I can't leave those features on the table. Like, I am drawn to it like a moth to a blue flame. I have to end up with the top tier device, the best MacBook Pro they offer, the best iPhone they offer. And sometimes I'll get it and I'll be using it and I realize I don't even need this. Like, some of these features are actually annoying and I wish I didn't have them. But I'm always drawn to the best that they have and end up paying the highest price. And sometimes I don't even need to be. But that's the way it goes for me. I think you're right. I think that most people would be happy with a middle of the line iPhone. But it makes them feel like they're getting a better product, even if they're not buying the highest end product. As long as they have the perception that Apple is releasing the best products in the market. And even if that just means that they're producing a phone that is limited because it has a higher price and better technology, even though they're not getting that specific phone, they feel better about their purchase because they know that Apple is the market leader. So they're getting the best brand of device.
Convoluted. Like, you know, like I said, I don't necessarily buy all that stuff that Jason went into about the perception, you know, that Apple has to be this market leader. They're not. They never really have been. Mm-hmm. Although, actually, you know, that's qualified too. You know, I know you can get, like, you know, there's a whole bunch of Android phones that have, you know, I don't know, these advanced OLED screens and different kinds of sensors and, you know, sort of push the envelope in terms of, you know, like, remember some of the Galaxy phones? I mean, they were, like, crazy, the number of features they had and all these different, you know, QR code readers and stuff like that. I mean, Apple's never been at the very, very cutting edge, but it's been cutting edge enough, and I think really what matters is the integration of the software, the apps, and the hardware, and the things you can do with it. And I think AI is going to be huge, right? These are going to be augmented reality phones. I mean, you can see from all these demos with augmented reality that it's going to be an unbelievable experience. And this new iPhone, the iPhone 8 or whatever it ends up being called, the iPhone Pro, is going to be, you know, it's going to be a showcase for this next sort of level of augmented reality experience. And I think it'll trickle down to the phones the year later, right? So the middle of the range phones.
That's exactly it. I think you just made Jason Snell's point. It's going to be a showcase. It's going to be tomorrow's technology today, which I think is either what he said or what John Gruber said. And it's going to showcase what Apple is capable of producing.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to hurt, you know, it's not going to hurt Apple sales of the iPhone 7S. Because I think a lot of people look at that and say, oh yeah, that's nice, that's cool. But it'll take a year for it to sort of like percolate into the mass market mentality, you know, into the mass market mind for them, for everyone to want it.
I agree with you there. I, if anything, I think it will make demand for the iPhone 7S even hotter, because I know you don't agree with me here. I think brand perception is a big deal. If people see that you're creating one of the best devices on the market, even though they may not be buying that specific best device, they may look at your other devices differently and perceive those devices as being higher quality because they know what you're capable of on your highest end devices. And I think companies do this all the time. In fact, perfect example, J. Crew, a clothing company here in the U.S., they release these ridiculously expensive, they have this ridiculously expensive line of clothing that no one would actually pay for. And I've heard the only reason they release this specific line of clothing that's like, you know, $300 for a shirt, $500 for like a flannel, is for you to look at those and be like, wow, that's outrageously expensive. I don't need that kind of quality. I'll just buy their, you know, their regular $75 shirts, right? And it increases their sales on their mid-tier stuff. And I think there is a perception adjustment in there.
Yeah, with the cachet, for sure. You know, like the brand halo, I think, you know, definitely benefits from having all this higher, this you know, that being at the cutting edge, having these cutting edge experiences. But, you know, I don't think that, you know, having... you know, like look on the Android phones. You know, I'm sure some of them are. You know, the wireless charging, right? That's been out on Android for several years, and I know that people roll their eyes when Apple brings it to the iPhone and say, "Oh, this isn't new," but I don't think anyone really looked at the iPhone and said, "Oh, it doesn't have wireless charging. I'm not interested," because it's on Android. You know, I'm going to go pick up an Android handset.
Yeah, totally. Not at all.
Not at all. Nothing. Not, you know, and so you know, people. Some you know that. Tech reviewers will roll their eyes and say that this is old news, but I think for most people, it makes no difference. Because, you know, when Apple brings it to the iPhone, it'll, you know, hopefully it'll be a nice experience that they bring it to the iPhone users. And even, so what if it's been available on Android for years? So what? Who cares? No one cares. No one cares at all. No one gives a hoot.
Well, the people in the Cultimate comments sections will care a lot.
We'll get some hate for it.
We'll be hearing from them for the next year. If we get wireless charging, if we indeed see wireless charging in the next iPhone, we're never going to hear the end of it. It's just going to be Troll City USA. Actually, Troll City Global Edition, yeah. Up in those Cultivate comments. Can we agree on the name iPhone Pro? That just makes too much sense for them not to use that. Because they're not going to call it the iPhone 8. It doesn't make any sense to release a numbered edition phone, because then what are they going to do next year? Release the iPhone 9 along next? Where is the 7S going to go, right? The 7S has to go to the next number.
Well, so, then it'll be the iPhone 8S.
Well, then what are they going to call the cutting-edge model after that? The iPhone 9?
9, yeah.
No, they can't do that. That doesn't make any sense. So,
well, they've been doing it so far. Why not?
So you think they're going to call the regular iPhone, the 7 is going to be called the 7S, and then after the 7S, they'll call it the 8S, and then the 9S, and then the 10S, while the cutting-edge version goes to
why don't they call it the iPhone 8, and then they have an iPhone 7S?
Yes, I mean, but what about next year?
Well, then, you know, then the next year, the iPhone 8 becomes the iPhone 8S, and the iPhone 7S gets dropped.
Oh, and you think they won't have two versions anymore after that? See, because I see this continuing. They're gonna have if they're gonna have a
pro one. Well, maybe
they're gonna have a pro edition from now on, and then they're gonna have the regular iPhones, and then they'll have the iPhone SE. That's gonna be the three models of iPhone that you can buy.
Well, maybe they'll do the iPhone 9, and they'll continue to have the iPhone 8S just the same as they have the iPhone 7S this year.
I'm going cross-eyed. I'm getting a throbbing headache. They're gonna call the 7S the 8. They'll change the 8 into the 9, and then they'll bring in the 10.
You're making it too complicated.
You're making it complicated.
Why can't they do it like that? You know, why can't they have the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 7S, and then next year they have the iPhone 8S and the iPhone 9?
Because, Lewis, what do you think?
I like the idea of Pro and 7S.
It just sounds much cleaner, doesn't it? I mean, and then next year they'll have an iPhone 8, and they'll still have an iPhone Pro, which everyone knows the Pro is the best that Apple makes.
Yeah, and it goes with their other product lines, obviously.
Exactly. Thank you.
It's a little bit less confusing.
You mean a lot less confusing.
Yeah.
Maybe
they'll just call it the iPhone, like they did with the iPad, right?
Yeah, that's not confusing.
Even
at all.
More
I'm just
simple.
Saying, if you need to have a calculator to figure out which iPhone model you're using,
some kind of flow chart.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, remember we had to have a flow chart for the iPad for a while because they had so many freaking models out there. I was like, I honestly can't keep track of what is still for sale.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. The iPad definitely is a bit confusing, isn't it? Because they still have the iPad Air. That's still available, right?
Yeah. The iPhone what?
Air.
iPad
the Air.
Air.
I thought you said
you're calling it the Dare. The Dare. iPhone Dare. I was like, uh-oh. Leander's speech control just shut down. That's what happens when you get the AL10. Yeah, I think they still have the Air 2, but they don't have the regular Air anymore. They're not selling it on their website. I don't even know. We would have to check. We need an infographic here just to help us understand what's still for sale. Anyway, iPhone Pro. From now on, I'm calling it the iPhone Pro because I think that's what it's going to be called. It just makes way too much sense. It's not going to be the iPhone 8. And it's going to be, I know this goes without saying, and it sounds like an obvious statement, it's going to be the most cutting-edge phone that Apple has ever made. But I think it's going to be even better than we expect. It's going to be a showcase, as Leander said, of what Apple is capable of. That is what makes sense to me. If you think that this is total horse shite, reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Leander is L. Caney. Let us know what you think. But this makes too much sense to me to end up not being correct. Let's move on. Let's talk about getting brand new products at the Apple Genius Bar. I'm sure you have known someone or maybe even gone through this yourself. You take a product to the Genius Bar and you think that you need some repairs. Apple looks at your, let's say, 2013 MacBook Pro and they say, you do need some repairs, but we're going to give you a brand new MacBook Pro. Have you guys ever heard of this happening to people? It's like a legend that this happens.
I've read about it. I've never actually.
You've never actually seen it happen. No. I actually have friends that this exact same thing happened. They went into the Genius Bar. They had a problem with their MacBook Pro, and instead of replacing it, Apple gave them a brand new MacBook Pro, even though their MacBook Pro was like 3 years old. And they were shocked, and I was shocked. And I thought that Apple was doing it to, quote unquote, surprise and delight the Genius Bar patrons, which is built into their customer service. They want to surprise and delight you. Well, it turns out that Apple isn't always doing this to be kind. And I want to give credit to the Connected podcast, which is where I first heard about this topic. And it turns out that when Apple develops a new product, they obviously can't test for everything, right? And sometimes they will figure out that a product is having a problem, and they initiate what they call a field capture test. During this time, if Apple is investigating a problem with a product, let's say an Apple Watch, and you bring in your Apple Watch because it's having issues, and they discover that your watch is having symptoms of the larger problem that they've been investigating, they will give you a brand new piece of technology. But what they don't tell you is you're kind of a guinea pig. They're using your device to discover and help them figure out what exactly is going on with this specific gadget. So they're using your device for testing purposes. They'll ship it back to Cupertino, where people in hazmat suits will disinfect your device, disassemble it, and investigate it, and try to figure out exactly where the problem lies. And a perfect example of this, you may have heard about the problems with some, I think Generation Zero, the first generation Apple Watches, where the back was coming off of them and coming unglued, and people were taking them into Apple, and Apple was giving them a brand new watch. Well, it turns out that there were specific kinds of sunscreens that were getting into the back of the Apple Watch and dissolving the glue that holds the watch together. Wow. And of course, there's no way Apple would ever know this. There's no way they could test for this because there's a zillion different types of sunscreen out there. And so Apple had to do all this investigation to determine what was causing the glue in the back of the Apple Watch to dissolve. And they eventually discovered it. And I think the field capture period was closed, so now if you take your Apple Watch in, they're probably just going to fix it with you and put some new glue on your watch.
Yeah, they put some glue on. Someone comes out. Exactly. Wait a second, sir. And they go out the back and they get some super glue and put it back together.
Like they switched from Elmer's to super because apparently it works better. But there you have it. That is why Apple will sometimes give these brand new devices away. And it's not just a legend. As I said, I've known people who have gone through this, and I've always hoped. Because I've had things repaired at the Apple Store, right? And you're always kind of like fingers crossed. You're like, I'm gonna be extra nice to the Genius Bar person. I'm gonna talk to them. I'm gonna laugh with them. I'm gonna joke around, and you're just kind of like schmooze them and hope that they'll give you a brand new device. It's never happened to me.
I think it's been true for quite a while, hasn't it? Because we've written a couple of articles about this. You know, if you have a warranty issue, like if you take a phone in, they'll more often than not swap out, a new phone. If you have some kind of warranty issue.
Well, you mean swap it out with a brand new model that is the same model that you brought in, though. Isn't that what you mean?
Oh, you mean you're going to get a brand new updated...
You're going to get a new version of the machine. I was reading this Reddit thread where people were talking about this, and this guy took in, I think, a 2013 or 2012. It was a 2012 MacBook Pro, and they gave him a brand new 2017 MacBook Pro... And it was a maxed out edition too. It was like the best CPU, the most RAM that you could put in there. And the guy was absolutely dumbfounded. He couldn't believe.
Well, did he have an extended warranty or something like that? Maybe they couldn't. Maybe they didn't have enough. You know, maybe they didn't have enough model to replace it with.
I mean, that could be the case. That could be the case. But why not give him like an older refurbished unit or something?
Well,
right?
You know, but maybe they don't have one available. That's what I mean.
Maybe that's what happened. But he hit the Genius Bar lottery. That's what we should call it. Yeah. You go in there and it's like da-da-da-da-da-da. You roll the dice and they're like, congratulations, you're getting a brand new MacBook Pro. The confetti starts coming down from the ceiling. That's what they should do. They should really amp it up and get some good press off it.
We had do you remember that we had that Genius Bar technician that was writing for us for a while?
Uh-huh.
And he said that you know, one of the secrets of the of dealing with the genius bar is that, you know, that Apple will bend over backwards to keep the customer happy. Like, the customer's always right, even if they're completely wrong. And they will do almost, you know, they'll trade out anything just to keep the customer happy, because it's more valuable, you know, than trying to nickel and dime or save a few hundred bucks, you know, on an older piece of equipment.
Right. I've had that experience with so many retailers where they try to protect themselves and they end up like not wanting to refund you like for $3 or something stupid. And then what happens? You get pissed and you're like, I'm never shopping here again. I don't care about anything else other than the fact that you just treated me so poorly.
Yeah.
And they may lose, you know, a few hundred bucks on you, but if you stay a customer for another 10 years.
Right, which is exactly what happens, isn't it? Because, you know, the experience is so much better.
Right.
And word
right.
of mouth.
They really
you
are
tell everybody about
at
it.
That point.
Right.
You
exactly,
tell everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. And it creates those stories
you put it on
that
Reddit,
you hear. Yeah.
It goes on Reddit, and then it, next thing you know, it's on a podcast.
That's right.
Next thing you know, you're on the way to the Apple store to buy your first Apple product.
But you know what? I've had some really piss poor experiences at the Genius Bar here in Seattle. I've had great experiences there, and I've had really bad experiences there. Like, you'll get like a diva every once in a while who is rude and doesn't want to help you. And is not talking politely to you. And you're just like, what is going on with this person? I don't understand why they're being so disrespectful. There was this one guy in particular. He was so rude that I ended up complaining to the manager, who was very understanding and respectful and considerate. And I don't know whatever happened to that Genius Bar employee, but
hopefully
he was
were
taken
fired
outside
and now
flogged.
They're homeless, and you can, as they go by, you can just sort of ask him for some money and you can kick him, and that'll teach you, right?
I throw my old sandwich at him from outside my car. I'm just like, idiot. Hit him in the face with my sandwich.
Right.
And then I peel
that'll
out.
Teach
as
him to be rude to you.
Yeah. Do you know who I am? I peel out.
Right. Did you say that? Do you know who I am? I am.
Sometimes I say that when I go to the Apple store and no one's known yet.
But, did you go in and did you say, hello?
Hello. That's what I should do. I should just say that as loudly as possible.
And then every head turns, and they're all scrambling to help you. Oh, Irfan, come over here.
Or they call the police. That's probably more likely what would happen. All right, well, let's see here. Before we move on to under review, Leander, you said you're going to regale us with this Steve Wozniak story. Now, I've heard this story about him spending $2 bills before on stuff that he buys, but you said you had some additional
details.
I found some
additional details, which I thought were pretty funny and very telling of Steve Wozniak, which is that he buys these in sheets. He buys $2 bills from the Fed, and then he gets them made up into these specially bound books. They look like checkbooks. So he'll send them to a printer, and the printer cuts them up and then glues them and binds them and then puts a perforation in them. So he has this, like, a checkbook of $2 bills that he carries around. And then when he wants to pay for something, he'll, like, rip out one of these $2 bills from this checkbook. And everyone's reaction is like, what? Because no one can believe, like, this is real and it's legal tender. But it is. It's actually legal tender and totally legal. So
wait, do they still even make $2 bills?
Well, I haven't seen one for a while, but yeah.
I haven't either. They stopped making them.
I can't say for sure. Maybe we could do a quick search, but I think so. I hadn't heard to the contrary.
I mean, maybe they just have enough of them lying around because they stopped using them or something.
Yeah, I haven't seen a dollar coin for a long time either.
Can I just say, I saw a picture of the Woz yesterday, and he was wearing a T-shirt with his own face on it underneath that said Woz. I was like, and he was wearing a suit blazer over the top of that. He was wearing jeans.
He's a snappy dresser. Yeah.
And I was like, dude, this is what you can do when you've got gazillions of dollars like Woz does. If anyone out there follows him on Twitter, I love his Twitter. All it is, he's connected it to like the Swarm app or something, which I'm actually not even familiar with. And all it does is send out these automatic tweets when he lands at an airport or goes to like check in at the Outback Steakhouse, which he does like every other day. And so his entire Twitter feed, all it is airport check-ins and restaurant check-ins. Right. And that is it. That's all it is.
Well, he used to be much more. He used to sit in his office, and there was a WASCAM, and you could watch him work.
What? There was a WASCAM?
Yeah, he used to respond. I think there was like some kind of IRC or some kind of chat capability, so you could send him a message, and he would often respond.
Holy moly! I can't believe he stopped doing that. And what a great idea!
He used to put up all kinds of crazy stuff on it. He had a whiteboard behind him, and he would put up jokes and little puzzles and weird little Easter eggs on the whiteboard. It was kind of a thing in the early, you know, the early days of the internet. It was, you remember, people used to have like, you know, coffee cams, where they'd have a webcam pointed at a coffee pot, you know, like at a physics lab or something like that, you know, in the kitchen, you know, people would want to know if there was any coffee available. They didn't want to go all the way down the corridor, so they just sort of checked the webcam. So it was kind of like in the vein of that. It was like this was cam. And he used to answer his email. He was really fast with email. Like, you know, if you sent him an email, he would often get back to you like within a few minutes. It was crazy.
What an interesting guy. I really wish he would implement the WASCAM. I mean, he's traveling so much now. I mean, he's a celebrity. That's all he does. He just travels everywhere.
Right.
And talks about the life of WAS, what it's like to be the WAS, what it was like to know Steve Jobs.
I'd like to get one of his have you seen his business cards?
I remember reading about these, but I don't remember the details.
So they were they're etched out of steel, and they're actually kind of sharp. You know that they're photo chemically etched, mm-hmm. and the phone number is a weird puzzle. It looks like a bunch of strings of ones and zeros, mm-hmm. and you actually have to figure it out. You have to figure out that this from this matrix. There are some of them are blanked out, and then you know you have to figure out what his phone number is, and it's like a test, you know. It's are you worthy of phoning Waz? Are you smart enough to figure it out?
You're like, oh, hey, Waz, I need your information. And he hands you the card. And you're like, can I just have your phone number, please? Do I have to solve a riddle every time I want to get information from you? Can you please just be straightforward one time and just give me your freaking phone number? Did you find out the information, Leander, you're Googling for? $2 bills.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. Yeah, it's current. It's current denomination.
Oh, they still make those.
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting. Well, why do they still make $2 bills if they don't distribute them into the general population? What's the point?
Well, do they not?
I have not seen a $2 bill in years. Years and years and years and years.
It's all 20s for you, right? 50s?
And hundreds, yeah.
The last time I saw a $2 bill, they were being stuffed into my G-string at my local dance club. And let me tell you, those are not comfortable when they're shoved in there.
Yeah, I read from Wikipedia. The seeming rarity of the $2 bill can be attributed to its low printing numbers as a Federal Reserve note.
Oh.
And people hoard them.
So and then there's Steve Wozniak.
Yeah.
That's how you know you've got too much money.
You need to be hanging out at that. I'm sure what? If you went down to the steakhouse, you know, down in Los Gatos, you probably get, that's probably all you can get.
Everyone's rolling in twos down there.
Stapled to the ceiling.
People paying their rent in twos. There's car payments being made in twos. Yeah. I mean, that whole town is running on twos.
It's running on two dollar bills.
Okay. All right. Well, with that said, let's go ahead and move on to Under Review, the segment where we pimp out our gadgets and apps that we're currently testing out. I got a pretty cool one this week.
Whoa.
You guys are going to love that. When I reveal it, you're going to get a good laugh out of that description. I don't know. Leander, what do you got?
Why don't you get Lewis to go first?
All right, Lewis, what do you got for us?
Well, it's really cool, man. It's
okay.
iPad Pro cases.
Oh, you know what, though? You were like, oh, I don't know if I should talk about these. People are getting their hands on the iPad Pro, and they need case suggestions. So I think this is actually a good one. What do you got for us?
Yeah, okay. So I've been trying a couple of them. One is the Logitech Slim Combo. And, it's kind of weird. It weighs a little bit more than the iPad itself, which is kind of odd.
It weighs more than the actual iPad?
Yeah, it does. Smokes. Just a smidge and more. But anyway, so, you know, I mean, the thing itself, each one weighs about a pound. Anyway, this is one of these ones that it basically turns your iPad Pro into a mini laptop. And it connects with a smart connector, so you don't ever have to, you know, there's no Bluetooth nightmare to deal with, none of that. It's awesome in that way. You pop it on there, magnets suck it right into place, you know, it just instantly connects to the keyboard. The keyboard lights up, it's backlit. Overall, this thing's pretty great, you know. You can pop off the keyboard really easy, and then there's a little kind of easel-like stand on the back, so you can hold it or set it on the table without the keyboard horizontally or in portrait mode.
Does it run off the iPad's power, or does it have to have its own separate
power? It has no battery. It's okay. And it uses very little power. I mean, at least according to their thing, and I haven't noticed any significant problems with that.
What's the price on that bad boy?
Thing is $129.
$129
$149 for the larger iPad Pro.
Oh, so this is for the 10.5 inch.
Yeah, 10.5. And
holy moly, that's an expensive case.
It is not cheap. And there's one thing about it that I find kind of frustrating. I mean, you take it apart. I mean, it does pop apart really fast. And honestly, I find myself not using the keyboard as much as anything else, right? It's a tablet, and it's awesome, and it's fast. And I as I was going before, it's so easy to just talk into the thing. Like, why do I even want to type when I can just use voice recognition and burn through some email or some work chat crap? The thing that's weird about it, though, is when you disconnect it from the keyboard, it's got this little like a rim around the edge, right? It sticks up maybe eighth to a quarter of an inch or something like that. But it doesn't go all the way around the tablet. Like on the bottom side where it connects to the keyboard, it's not there. And there's cutouts for the speakers and then this and that. So it has this sort of, I don't know, it's not that a pleasing of a feel in your hand, if you know what I'm talking about.
It's got some hard edges on it.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, how can I put it? The iPad itself, you pick it up, it's this completely uniform thing, right? With this thing, it's kind of weird. It's like, you don't put your hand in the right place, it kind of jabs your palm or something. So I don't find it to be the most pleasing thing when I'm just using it as a tablet. I mean, it's fine, don't get me wrong, and it's great if you're using it as a laptop. But that's just one. I found that to be slightly less than amazing.
Okay.
One thing I will tell you, great protection. I've already dropped this thing twice, screaming my head off both times. Like, oh my God.
Is that how you scream?
When I drop the iPad Pro, yes, that's pretty much exactly what it sounds like. And
you sound like an English lord who just discovered the peasants were on his grass with pitchforks.
I'm sure it's not pretty, and it probably scares the neighbors.
Wait, what was the name of this case again?
It's called the Logitech Slim Combo.
The Slim Combo, okay.
And and other things about it, I mean, I should give a full rundown, really. I mean, it does have like little iOS shortcuts at the top of the keyboard, which are very handy.
Oh, that's super handy.
Yeah, it's got a little kind of a plasticky loop thing that holds your Apple Pencil firmly in place, so you don't have to worry about that thing rolling off and disappearing. It's made of plastic or some kind of polymer or something, which is it's okay. It's I kind of like the old Logitech ones that were metal, but I mean, to be honest, those things get dented up, this is definitely much more protection for your iPad. So anyway, I would say it's pretty awesome, especially if you're planning on doing typing. And the keyboard feels great to me. I mean, I don't use it as much as I use the touchscreen keyboard, but pretty
yeah,
awesome.
It sounds like it's kind of intended for people who are going to be using their iPad as their main computer.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to take this thing on the road and do work, and just I think it's perfect for that. And it's like everything Logitech makes. It's completely solid, and just basically high quality gear. So
that's true, man. They make some great stuff. Their mice are great. I have a Logitech webcam, which is probably one of the best webcams on the market. I mean, it can practically see in the dark, and it creates a beautiful image, even in really low light. They just make really good stuff.
Yeah, they always make good quality stuff.
They make great stuff. Yeah. Okay, I'll go next. Leander, you can wrap us up here.
Okay, well, mine's the best. So.
Is it? Okay, well, I don't know. Wait till you hear it, because mine's pretty cool. I got... I have been reviewing... a ceiling fan. Get it, guys?
Ah, I thought it was going to be an ice cube tray.
Yeah, I'm surprised. There's probably going to be like a Siri-enabled ice cube tray at some point. Actually, it's not a bad idea. It sends you a text message once your ice is ready. So I have been reviewing a HomeKit-enabled ceiling fan. It's from a company called Hunter. You've probably heard of them. They make ceiling fans. They've been in business for like 100 years. And they are starting to roll out smart-enabled ceiling fans. And this thing is pretty freaking cool. I mean, the installation was a little rocky, and I've never installed a fan before, but once I kind of got everything figured out and got this thing installed, you can hook it up to HomeKit, and you can control all of its functionality directly from your phone. You can speak to Siri and have the fan activate. You can turn the fan lights on and off. And more than the HomeKit functionality, which is hyper convenient, I love the look of it. It's just a pure whiteout fan. Everything on it is just white. Huh. And for those of you that follow me on Instagram, you know I've been in the process of building this new CultCast Command Center where I'm now working out of. And I've been trying to make the entire area smart. So smart bulbs, smart locks, anything that I can get my hands on that's smart and HomeKit enabled, I'm trying to test out. And the motif of the room, if you will, is white. Everything in here is white. So I've been trying to find white accessories, and this thing fits in perfectly. It puts out a ton of air. It moves air so well. I sit right under it. It kind of keeps me cool, and it's dead quiet. It doesn't make a single sound unless you crank it up to 100, in which case it kind of makes like a low volume whir because it's a fan. And then it really moves the air in the room. Like when I turn this thing on high, all the papers around my office start, you know, dancing and it start floating off into other directions because so much air is twirling about. It also integrates with Alexa. That they just came out with an Alexa skill set that you have to install and connect to your Hunter account to get it working, which was an absolute nightmare on Elm Street to get working. It was really terrible. And that's kind of leads me to the one thing I don't like about this fan is the accompanying app they include is an absolute disaster. It is one of the worst apps I have ever used. It's not intuitive in any way, and it's hard to use. I had to like delete it several times and reinstall it and disconnect my fan and reconnect it like 3 or 4 times just to get everything working. It's the only part about this fan that I don't like. It's the only part that I hope that they update, because it does work. You can get it working, but it's a huge frustration, and it's nowhere near the quality of the fan itself, because the fan itself is great. The fan also comes with a remote control, so if you don't want to use the Siri functionality or the HomeKit functionality, you don't have to. It has 4 speeds, and I just can't say how nice it is, the convenience of being able to control the fan from anywhere in the world via HomeKit is so cool. HomeKit is so cool. If you're not using HomeKit, you're really missing out on a lot of stuff. You can do so much cool stuff with HomeKit. I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but
no, this is what I'm interested in, because I actually want to know if it works. Like, all my smart stuff keeps breaking down.
Really? Like, what kind of issues are you having?
We got an alarm here at work that's supposed to be smart, you know. And
not
it's always
HomeKit.
Yeah, no, it's not HomeKit enabled. It's actually a Samsung one. But
okay. Well, we're getting problem to the crux solved of the issue here, Leander.
It's a huge headache, you know. It's just like it just doesn't work right, and it, you know, keeps on going off, and it doesn't detect our phones properly. And but the same has been true for the other smart stuff I've got at home. You know, like, I don't know. You know, I guess everything's all, nothing is compatible. I don't have all the smart stuff that all works with one thing altogether. You know, like they're all, the Nest works with the Alexa, but it doesn't work with HomeKit. And then the light bulbs, you know, work with this and they don't work with that.
Right.
That's and I don't know if I want to get, like, you know, the whole idea of spending hundreds of dollars to try to get everything working on HomeKit and then have it the whole thing and then spend, you know, have to spend the rest of my life troubleshooting this stuff just fills me with dread.
You're not going to have to troubleshoot the HomeKit stuff.
I mean,
though.
I've been having more.
Sure?
Pretty damn well. I mean, obviously, I haven't tried every single thing, but you know, like I've got these Lutron Caseta smart, whatever they are, light switches. You know, the ones you have to wire into the wall. They're bulletproof, man. I've never had a single problem with them, and it's instant. It works with Alexa or with HomeKit. It's awesome. I mean,
really?
That's been my experience with the Philips Hue lights too. They've been just about bulletproof.
And then Siri, you know, turn on the lights, and it's like, and doesn't understand what you say.
Okay, well, that is an issue, and I attribute that more to Siri and HomeKit than I do the actual devices themselves. But maybe it's a mixture of both. And I will say, for the fan, I have had instances where I've asked Siri to do certain things with the fan, and same with the Alexa. with Amazon Echo, and then the fan doesn't respond. So I don't know if that's a HomeKit thing or if that is a fan thing, but there's a lot of components intermingled on my network. And as you said, you know, sometimes you have little issues with them, but for the most part, they've all been working pretty well. And what I like about HomeKit is the automation. So once you have something connected to HomeKit, you can schedule times for that device to come on or turn off. You can set geofences. So like when I get near my house, my living room lights turn on. You can also connect devices to have certain behaviors depending on the behaviors of other devices. So for instance, if you're coming home and your heater turns on, if your heater reaches like a certain temperature, you can also have your lights come on. That's a really bad example because you would never want to do that. But it just demonstrates what you can do. And also, you can have your lights and your fan come on at certain times of day, depending on whether or not the sun is down or not. And with the fan, it's cool because, and one of the things I'm looking forward to is in the wintertime, having the fan turn itself on intermittently throughout the night just to kind of get the air in the room moving, because if you
get
have
the farts
the air,
out of there.
Yeah, you want all the farts to be cleared out. And it takes a whole 8 hours for that to happen.
A lot of this stuff sounds like, you know, you could just get up and turn the lights on.
Well, let's say you go on vacation, for instance. Like when I go on vacation, I will set my lights to come on and turn off at different times of the day so that it appears as though I'm home. You can't do that, you know, without HomeKit.
Yeah. Well, I've done that in the past, you know, with those old, you know, those cheap timers you can buy from Home Depot.
Oh my God.
And then, oh, what a nightmare. You don't have nearly the level of customizability that I do.
I know that, but you know, it worked okay.
And then if anyone comes into my house, I get pinged and I can turn on my my video camera at home. And see who's in my living room. I mean, there's just a whole host of stuff that you can do with these smart devices that may not work perfectly 100% of the time, but it's still early days for a lot of this stuff. I mean, there's not even really a whole lot of HomeKit-enabled stuff out there right now.
But it's been years since it's 2-3 years now?
Yeah, it has been a long time, hasn't it? And I feel like it's just now starting to take off. Anyway, that's why when I find a good HomeKit-enabled device, I always like to talk about it. And the Hunter Symphony fan, I think it's $300. It might be $250. Great fan, HomeKit capable, and I love it. I think it's a great gadget. And it's also an additional light, you know, for your room, which is always nice. Okay, so Lander. Are you going to beat that? Do you have something cooler than that?
Oh, way cooler. Way cooler.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. So,
I mean, I doubt it's cooler, but continue.
Life-threatening.
Lewis knows what it is, right, Lewis?
It's a danger zone.
Uh-oh.
It's an e-skateboard.
You got a skateboard?
Yeah, an electric one.
In future news, Leander's in a wheelchair.
I look just like Steve Buscemi. You know that famous meme picture, like where he's got his
hey, fellow young people,
right? Hey, kids. So I look just like that. I got a backwards baseball cap, and then when I'm riding it, I'm like my arms are going like windmills because I can barely balance on the thing.
What's it called?
Well, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I think it's Huger, H-U-G-E-R. It's a Southern California company, and they've just, I think they're a startup. They've got a Kickstarter campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you have one already?
Well, they sent a prototype.
Okay.
And God knows why. And they were really keen to send it to us as well.
Oh, well, because they wanted you to pimp it to your many fans.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. You know, like I haven't, skateboarding is, I was a terrible skateboarder anyway.
Uh-huh.
And electric, and this thing has got like a lot of oomph. It's really got some torque.
Mm-hmm.
It really can take off, you know. And they sent the bigger one. There's three to choose from. There's like a regular sort of skateboard, and there's kind of like this racer one, and then they have this longboard,
yeah,
which is the sort of top of the range. And this thing will go up a 25% hill. And Lyle took it home. My son took it home yesterday. He rode it up one of the steep hills here, Burnham Heights. Uh-huh. He was flying up the hill.
Wow. That actually worked.
Do you have the longboard?
Yeah, it's a longboard.
Wow.
How much
it's
is
called,
it?
Which one is it called? The Travel.
The Travel.
It has a top speed of 20 miles an hour, range of 22 miles, although it actually ran it. We managed to run it out, you know, yesterday before he got home because we were playing around with it here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it'll go up a 20% incline, which is pretty steep. It'll go up a steep hill. It'll fly up a steep hill. And like I said, it's really got some torque. It's really got some oomph. And the thing's really solid. Like it's really, really, you know, it's a really solidly built board and with big wheels, and it sounds really high tech. You know, it really sounds sci-fi when you get the wheels rolling. Yeah, it's got lights up on the front, mm-hmm, lights on the back, turning signals, brakes. It even has horn built in. It's super fun. I mean, like, to be honest, I just started playing around with it. In fact, I'm going to dial the torque down because it's actually too much. Like, if you have a little hand controller in your hand and you slide this button, mm-hmm, and it jerks you back, right? And then, of course, you're flying off the back of the thing. But you can adjust it. You can connect it to your iPhone with an app via Bluetooth, and you can dial down the torque, which, okay, I'm definitely going to do because the torque is too much at the moment.
Oh, and they're only $600 on the...
Right. At the moment, so early bird special, yeah. Normal pricing is about $1,200, which seems to be, which I thought was a lot, but it seems to be in line with the other skateboards.
It's pretty normal. Yeah, yeah.
And wow. So if you're getting on the early bird now, it's $600.
I'll link to the. We'll give them some juice. We'll link to the Indiegogo if you guys want to check it out. I this stuff always excites me because this. I think we're at the start of a big shift in personal transportation.
Definitely.
And all these electric skateboards, you know, hoverboards, bicycles.
Right.
I mean, there's a ton of electric bikes out now.
Yeah,
these are going to be everywhere in 5 years.
I think that's very true. I just passed a couple on my bike this morning. I just passed a couple of people on these little tiny, these weird like fold-up electric scooters.
Yeah.
They're really small. They look like little triangles with, you know, with a couple of wheels on the bottom. And they were really motoring along. They look like super fun. There's a lot of, you know, there's e-bikes everywhere. I think you're totally right. There definitely is like some kind of like transportation revolution going on at the moment. I think they're going to be a lot more common.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, they're a great way to get around, and they kind of flatten all the hills. They make it easy to not drive your car short distances. Like, I would love a piece of transportation that I could take around and not have to take my car. I was actually thinking about buying a moped, you know, just to get around. And I was like, I don't really want to own a moped. Where am I going to keep it? But, like, to have, like, a little electric bicycle or a little electric skateboard or something that you could use to get within 1 to 2 miles of your home.
Right.
You know? I mean, and people are going to be like, dude, just walk. Well, sometimes you need to get somewhere quick, you know?
Yeah.
If you're trying to, like, get there and back. You need a way to do that.
I know. Lunch, yeah. Lunch for me, unfortunately, is limited to anywhere within half a block of the office.
Right.
Like, I refuse to go any further than that. But, like, if I had this electric skateboard, I was totally thinking about that. Like, this would be great for just popping somewhere for lunch. maybe 2 blocks away.
Oh, yeah. Even a mile away. I mean, think how fast you could get a mile away on an electric skateboard that goes 20 miles an hour. I mean, you'd only make it, you know, 200 to 300 feet before you needed an ambulance. But,
well, I can say that with my kids. You know, my kids right now, they, you know, like, I often have to run them across town. Well, you know, even halfway across town. Well, like Lyle, the one who was testing it yesterday, you know, he gets a ride to work every day, which is not that, it's too far to walk. It's kind of too, and it's not easy for him to ride his bike there because there's nowhere for him to store it, but he could totally take this to and from his work every day.
Plus, you don't want to get somewhere and be absolutely drenched in sweat and stinking, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you just need something to get you there and you don't want to drive. All right, this is cool. The Huger.
Is it not huger?
It might be huger.
Yeah, maybe it's huger, yeah. It's not hugger.
It's not hugger because it's huger. Missing a G.
Yeah, huger.
Huge! It's huge!
Actually, it's probably pronounced huger.
Huger.
This is the skateboard company started by Donald Trump Jr. All right, well, with that said, we should go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the CultCast we have for you guys this week. We'll, of course, link to all the stories that we talked about and all these gadgets in the show notes if you guys want to check this stuff out. If you want to follow El Caney's adventures in Japan and see all his great pictures that he's going to post, he's on Twitter. He's at LH. I can never remember. I can only just say it. El Caney. I can't spell it. I can say it. I can't spell it. El Caney. K-A-H-N-E-Y. And I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N, and Lewis, I think you're at Lewis Wallace, yeah?
That is correct.
One of these days, I won't have to ask you that. I'll just remember it. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I was going to do a Robert Baratheon, but I was like, I guess that's pretty old school now.
How does it go, Lewis?
Wine! Next time!
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense unless you say wine.
Yeah, wine. Otherwise it's just me talking in a
making
strange
a funny voice. Yeah. He was one of the best characters. I really liked him.
He was the best. Who didn't want to hang out with Robert Baratheon?
Right. He was a lot of fun. Yeah, I would like to be his, you know, the Hand of the King.
I'd be his handmaiden, for sure. Right. I mean, Hand of the King.
You lose your head, but...
Yeah. You'll eventually end up dead, but you get to meet Bessie. Ah, Bessie. Thank the gods for Bessie.
Was that one of his concubines?
Well, actually, it was one of Ned Stark's. No. It was one of his concubines. Because he thought it was Ned Stark's. And Ned Stark was like, no, that was yours. And he's like, oh, right, okay. Bessie. Wow,
did you just watch it or something? How do you remember that?
Because I watched the first season like 30 times.
Wow.
I used to watch it. I used to watch that show. And then I would rewatch it after it was done. And I would just rewatch it and rewatch it. Yeah. Have it going on in the background.
I'm looking forward to rewatching it because it was great. It really was great.
Oh, man. It's so good. Robert Bradley was so great. He had so many perfect one-liners, too. He was just such a good character. But then I stopped at season 3 because the show got to be so heartbreaking that I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I haven't gotten myself to go back.
Really?
I just can't. Wow.
Yeah, you're joking.
No, I'm dead serious.
You got like a couple of seasons you haven't watched? Or a season?
I stopped at season... Have you watched the show, Lewis?
I don't want to spoil anything for you. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I stopped after the red wedding. I couldn't make it past that.
Oh, wow. Really?
Huh. That episode really traumatized me. I was thinking about it for weeks after it came out.
Really?
Because I thought the show was going to go a totally different direction. I thought that
it was going to lighten up. It was going to be like the Disneyland one. And instead it got darker and even crueler.
Yeah, that episode was so dark. And right.
Well, it was worse even after that, too. I think
that's what I hear. And so I'm like, all that violence is so hard for me to watch. It's right. Just so graphic. And you fall in love with these characters and then they kill them brutally.
Really brutally.
They rip out their tongue and then choke them with it. It's like, jeez.
Yeah. It's true. It is bleak as heck, yeah.
But I do want to get caught up because I know what are they on season 7 now?
There's no other show like it because it's really about what is it, 6?
7.
7.
Are they starting
okay.
on 7? Wow.
It's a really smart show about politics.
And it's so well written.
Right.
But it's impossible to not catch spoilers anywhere because or without completely disconnecting from the internet because
Yeah, right.
Everyone wants to promote their Game of Thrones stories, and guess who they use as the header image for every single story, right? It's like Jon Snow, what's her face, the queen,
Cersei,
or her, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess I know who's living still, and everyone else is dead, you know?
Well,
oh, really? Did you just spoil that?
Oh, sorry, boy.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry. That was the biggest secret of the whole show.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Jeez, how could you drop that?
I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking.
This is what I mean. Is it impossible to not have?
I'm really sorry.
Absolute jerks spoil the hugest plot of the entire series.
You were just talking about avoiding spoilers.
Jeez. Unbelievable.
Well, I can't believe you avoided that one. Come on.
I didn't know that. I don't even want to talk about it anymore because you're going to drop some other piece that I'm absolutely not supposed to know. I set up filters on Twitter so that they wouldn't show up in my Twitter feed. You know, like I've been trying to be as careful as you can while still using the internet, but apparently I can't put a filter on Leander Caney.
Yeah.
Filterless.
Man, I'm sorry.